Hi, listeners. Welcome to Trust in Tech, where we have conversations with people helping the internet and society thrive. Today's guest is me, Alice Hunsberger. I'll get real. I just started a new job and I couldn't get it together enough to schedule a guest this week. So I'm trying something new and we'll see how it goes. Talha and I just went through the most popular episodes of last year, and they basically got sorted out into two different themes. So one of them was topics of the moment, big news in tech, basically our OpenAI episode about using GPT-4 for moderation, our episode on Twitter, some of the elections episodes. So, you know, when big things are happening in the industry, we talk to people who know a lot about it. Surprise, surprise, they're popular. But the other category that I thought was actually pretty interesting was around career advice and help and people talking about their own stories and how they got started in trust and safety and how they got to where they are now. So I thought I would talk about that a little bit, especially because I just went through a job search. So if you're in the same position, whether you're laid off and actively looking for a new job, or if you're like I was, where you know that you're ready for something new, but you're not sure what, and you're just kind of starting to contemplate it, I'll have some tips and advice, and you can listen, and hopefully it's helpful for you. I also talked to a few leaders in the space and I asked them for some thoughts and answers to frequently asked questions that I get when I'm talking to people. So it won't all be me. It'll be my voice, but you'll get some insights from other people in the industry as well. So it's not just me. So here's where I started when I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do next. The situation was basically I'd been working in tech and trust and safety for 13 years. I had two jobs in the industry over that time period, both in online dating, and it was all I knew. I hadn't actively looked for either of those jobs. They both kind of fell in my lap. I got promoted a whole bunch of times, so I had good career development and knew what I was doing, but was sort of passive, I would say, with my career, looking around with my career. I was just waiting to see what happened next and open to different possibilities. But after 13-ish years, I was like, okay, I'm ready to do something that's not online dating. And I didn't know what. I wasn't sure. So the first thing that I did, and this might sound really obvious, but it didn't really occur to me. Actually, I think the inspiration for it was Katie Harbath from Anchor Change has been really open about her career and her thinking through what the next phases in her career were going to be, especially when she went out on her own for a while. And she posted a whole bunch of resources and some exercises that she did and this like very cool whiteboard, vision board, brainstorm of everything that she was interested in, which was really inspiring to me. So I went through a very similar process, but probably not as organized as Katie. So I don't have any visuals to show for you or anything, but I made a list of my values, what was important to me with a company, what I was looking for in terms of benefits, cultural values, things that the company was interested in doing. I also made a list of what I love to do and work on, what I'm good at, which is not always necessarily the same thing. Also what I'm bad at, what I don't want to do, and what I want to learn more of, what I thought the gaps were in my skill set, again, because I'd been in the same industry for 13 plus years. There are a bunch of gaps. And then skills I have that are in high demand that I thought that people might pay for or hire for. And then I prioritized all of that ruthlessly. So I thought about what are the actual deal breakers? What are the things that are very important? And then what's just nice to have? And what do I need at some point in my career, but don't necessarily need immediately? And honestly, the thing that helped me figure all of this stuff out was going on interviews, just talking to people and interviewing for jobs, even if I wasn't really sure about it. If a recruiter reached out to me, then I talked to them just to get a sense of what I wanted. I paid a lot of attention to when I got excited talking to people and when I was like, I don't know, maybe. So my list looked something like this. As incomplete list is not everything. The deal breakers were had to be remote first because I don't live in a major city. Interesting problems to solve. So something that I could sink my teeth into and that I would find challenging and inspiring and fun. Fun and trust and safety is very relative, though. If you know, you know. They'd meet my salary requirements. And then for me, you know, part of this values conversation was that the company must be outspoken and supportive and active with diversity, equity, inclusion, belonging efforts. It's something that I think is really important. I'm interested in working with diverse teams. I learn a lot that way. It is better for everybody and it's super important to me. So that is a deal breaker. And then on my nice to have list was I want to travel. I want to be paid to go to conferences, for example, but I didn't want too much travel because I have a young child and family. So just the right balance or autonomy over my own schedule and how much balance I want. I wanted the company to let me continue talking publicly about trust and safety. It's not a given with all companies. Some companies are really uncomfortable with their employees talking publicly about these things, even if they say, hey, this is just my own personal opinion. And I have this podcast and I am working on other projects. So that was important, but not necessarily a deal breaker. Like if the absolute perfect dream job came along and they said, hey, you have to stop posting on LinkedIn for a little bit, I'd probably survive. But it, you know, it was important. And then the other thing that was on my nice to have list was I wanted most of my work to be more project-based, strategic, long-term, proactive, rather than emergency response work, which in trust and safety, you know, there's a lot of that. And having been head of operations teams for a long time, I really wanted a little bit more balance there. So then the last chunk for me, the long term, where did I see gaps in my knowledge? Where did I want to focus learning more about? My last role, my direct boss was the chief financial officer, which is sort of a strange setup for a trust and safety team, but it's just there's a leadership reorg and that's where it shook out. And it was actually really great. Like I learned a lot about finance in a really short amount of time that I hadn't learned in many, many years prior. And I think that that's something that I would like to continue learning more about how to run a business and how to forecast budgets and all of those kinds of things. I have the basics down, obviously, but wanted to dig into that stuff a little bit more. So that was one category. And then the other is wanting to understand the industry more holistically. And the industry could be tech in general. It could be trust and safety. It could be ethics in tech. There's any number of different areas that I'm interested in, but I wanted to broaden my understanding again because I personally had been in the same little narrow industry of trust and safety and customer support dating companies. So I wanted to broaden that. So I had my list and the next thing that I did was I talked to everyone. And I had to do this not publicly because I had a job and didn't want to advertise to my current employer that I was searching for something else. So I couldn't just like put a blast out on LinkedIn and say, hey, if you're hiring, let me know. I had to do it a little bit more on the down low. So whenever I talked to friends in the industry, I would tell them. I went to events or either online or in person and would chat to people and would say, hey, by the way, if anything comes your way, let me know. If you're looking higher, let me know. I just put feelers out. And I put feelers out for probably 9 months before I actually found my current job. And by the way, if you're listening and you're like, what is this new job? I'm VP of Trust and Safety and Content Moderation at Partner Hero, which is an outsourcing company. And their whole thing is do good, have people from all over the world who can help, but do it in a way that is not exploitative and terrible. So I don't know, if you're listening to this and you need help starting, growing, scaling trust and safety teams, thinking about strategy, thinking about when should you hire your first person, how to spread out the work, how to do outsourcing without it being awful, I'm your person. Just let me know. Anyway, so back to the job search. I had this luxury of time because I wasn't in a situation where I desperately needed a new job. And I did this combination, like I talked about before, of saying yes if recruiters contacted me and wanted to interview, applying for jobs based on what was on job boards, and then just getting contacted or referred directly by friends of mine. And so a few things to note from that process that might be interesting to you. Of the jobs that I just cold applied to, like saw the job listing online, put in my resume, sent it out, maybe one called me to interview. The vast majority I never heard back. So if that's happening to you, it's not just you. It's happening to everyone. It happened to me a ton. It's normal. Here's one potential insight as to why. Hopefully this is a rare instance, but it's a story that I think is maybe worth sharing. So I got contacted by recruiters for this one job. And I went through one round with the recruiter and then interviewed with three different people at the company. So I got pretty far in the process. And they ended up going with somebody else, which fair enough, I wasn't exactly what they were looking for. And I think, you know, I would have been happy in that job, but it wasn't a perfect fit. So totally understandable. But it wasn't until after they rejected me that they then publicly posted the job listing. So the whole time that the recruiter is talking to me, they had a job description, they knew what they were looking for, but they didn't put up a job listing on the job boards. And after they rejected me, the job listing went up. And I can't be sure of like exactly what happened, because obviously that at that point they stopped talking to me. But presumably, if they're following best practices, you don't reject people who are that far in the interview process unless you already have other people who you're very confident with. So probably they already had an acceptance from their first choice candidate, or they had a few people that were very far in the process. And so it's possible that the job posting that they put up was never actually a viable job posting to begin with. It just went up as like a, I don't know, FYI, because they have to legally publicly post a job, but they already had the candidate. I don't know, maybe something like that is why I never got called back on some of the other jobs. Maybe they were actually already filled by someone without saying so. So I don't know. Hopefully that's not too discouraging, but stuff like that happens. And then of the interviews that I actually had, the majority of them were because of the networking and word of mouth that I did. So a lot of the, probably most of the conversations that I had in this category were companies who were in the early stages of thinking about hiring a trust and safety leader. And so they were like, oh yeah, we probably need someone, but we're just starting to think about it. And then they heard that I was looking, and so, hey, let's chat and see if it ends up somewhere. And I had a lot of those, actually, surprisingly, quite a few. So it probably won't apply for people who aren't looking for like head of trust and safety roles. But I found personally that my best chances of having conversations that felt like they could be a good fit were in these really, really early stages before a job description was even written. So take that for what it's worth. And here we have a tip from another expert. So I asked around, I posted, I think, on the Trust and Safety Professional Association Slack. There's a manager's channel, and I asked some people there who I know. So here is something from Catherine. Said her tips for people looking for jobs are be patient, network where possible to get referrals, and try to keep developing your skill sets while you're job searching so that then you're even more desirable. So those are good tips. Another frequent question that I get is from people applying to jobs, and they say, what helps a resume or cover letter stand out? I love cover letters. I have had the cover letter conversation on this podcast before, actually. I think it's in the growing trust and safety teams at small companies episode. I'll post it in the show notes if you want to listen to my conversation about that with someone else. But I've seen a lot of postings that are saying that cover letters are dead and you shouldn't bother. And especially if every job you apply to, you never get an answer, then it can be incredibly discouraging to write all these custom cover letters and then all that work has gone to nothing. But as a hiring manager, I do read them or have recruiters read them and then send me the good ones. I have hired people purely because of their cover letters before, well, interviewed them because of their cover letter and then hired them because their interviews were good, but based much more on the cover letter than on the experience in the resume. So I don't think they're dead. Here are some tips from other leaders who back me up. If you disagree, maybe you can come on the podcast and talk about why cover letters are bad. But here's some info. So Catherine says, it depends on whether cover letters are good or not, but make sure there are no typos and keep whatever design and formatting you use consistent. Kevin says he, like me, is big on a quality cover letter. If you can say plainly why you in particular would be good for a role, or what about the role perks up your ears in a genuine way, not generic or ChatGPT-y, then your cover letter and resume go right up to the top of the stack. So it's a difficult task, but good writing is so important for most jobs, especially in the trust and safety space. So he considers cover letters also a mini writing test. And that's exactly how I think about it. Good communication around difficult topics is key to our job success, both communication with users, but also communication with other people at the company, like advocating for why your trust and safety projects should get priority. That's communication. So writing a good cover letter is a way to kind of see if somebody has the beginning sparks of the much more complex skills that they would use in a job. And then Jenny says to make sure that your resume includes the same keywords as in the job description, as long as it's accurate. So to really tailor the resume exactly to the job description. And I've done that before where I've looked at how they describe things, and often companies will use their own like internal lingo, internal language for things that maybe my resume still has, but I use different internal language from the companies that I've worked for. So switching that stuff up and making it consistent with the company you're applying for is good. It'll make your skills more recognizable. And then I have some tips on interviewing. My number one tip personally is, yes, prepare and be professional. And we'll hear a little bit more about that from other people in a second. But also be super curious and genuine and yourself. So if there's one thing that I learned from working at dating apps for 13 years, it is that authenticity is really important. If you go into a job interview trying really hard to be the person that the company wants you to be instead of being yourself, then it probably won't be a good fit long term. And if you're desperate for a job, if you really need that paycheck, then of course do that. But if you have a little bit more time and are looking to be a little bit more thoughtful, then in some ways being a little bit more weird, I don't know what's the right word, like being yourself, being unique, showing where you have really strong opinions about things, pushing back a little bit, asking hard questions, being polite and nice and kind about all of it, obviously, but like think about those values, non-negotiables that you have. So if DEI is important to you, ask the company, hey, what are you doing for this? If remote first is important to you, say, what are the chances that you'll switch to an office job soon? And don't be afraid to ask those questions, because if it turns them off and they don't want to have that conversation with you, then it's probably not the best company for you anyway. It's exactly like dating. Like if you pretend to be the perfect person for someone else, sure, you might get that date with them, but it's not going to turn into a happy long-term marriage. So be yourself. Catherine, her advice is the question that she likes to ask and the one that she suggests that people are prepared for when they're interviewing is, why do you want the job? Just have an answer for what about the job is interesting for you. She says this gives her an indication of what they're looking for or what the candidate is looking for, along with where they're at in their understanding of the role, so she can fill in gaps or correct inaccuracies. And I've asked that same question too. So I've asked people, what did you talk to the recruiter about, or what did the recruiter tell you about this role, and what's your understanding of how it works? So be prepared to have that. Jenny says, if you're interviewing at a place that has an app or a website, download the app, use the website, share your experience using the platform. It seems really basic, she says, but a lot of people don't do it for some reason. And absolutely, I agree with that as well. You don't have to put everything out there. Like if you're in a relationship interviewing at a dating app, you know, you can lurk a little bit, but at least be familiar. And then Catherine backs it up and she also says she likes it when it's obvious that people are asking about something that shows a level of understanding or genuine curiosity about the company and the role itself. So doing a little bit of homework. And then I have a question from a listener. Jeremy asks, what advice do you wish that you had when you were first starting out? My advice is to network, which you'll hear me say all the time, but it's true. I will say it forever. These resources and networks didn't really exist when I was starting out in my trust and safety career, but they sure do now. So go to conferences, chat with people, join all the groups, be active in Slack or LinkedIn. You don't have to do it all publicly. There's definitely trade-offs with that. Listen to my episode with Bella on personal safety in order to sort of have an idea of what some of those risks are. But networking can happen behind the scenes as well. You can privately reach out to people who you admire or who you want to work with. Managers tend to always sort of keep an eye out for people who they might want to work with in the future. I know that I have. So I have like one example. I was at a roundtable discussion or a working group or something on tech-enabled gender-based violence. And there were a bunch of people there, and we were all sort of discussing. And there was this one person in the meeting who also worked in trust and safety. There were other people there who were from advocacy groups or were just interested in the subject, but like one other trust and safety pro. And they were super like thoughtful, genuine, well-informed, smart. I could just tell from hearing them talk that they knew what they were talking about. And so during the meeting, I sent them a LinkedIn request and kept in touch. And like this person and I still every once in a while exchange messages. It's been a couple years. I've never been able to hire them, but they're on my list of if the right role comes up on one of my teams, absolutely, I will reach out to them. And I have reached out to them and said, hey, you should apply for this job. So these things, you know, even if they're very informal and you're not going into it thinking, I have to meet my future manager here, managers are always kind of filing away a little bit. So keep that in mind. Catherine says her advice that she wish she knew earlier was to knock the job that you are hired to do out of the park as much as is possible for you, and other opportunities will come your way. She said, don't let your ambition or desire for future roles stop you from doing a great job at your current role. And I think that's true. I've definitely been handed a lot of opportunities because I did a good job and was clear that I was ready for more. So that's good general advice. And then I have one last question from a listener, from Andrew. He asks, do trust and safety leaders really believe we will have an internet free or at least drastically reduced of harm? I can ask other people specifically this question, but I think the answer is no. So the Integrity Institute put out a deck recently that I took a look at, and there were a couple sentences in there that really stuck out to me that I think are applicable here. They were, even a group of highly skilled firefighters cannot save your city if all of your structures are built out of matchsticks doused in kerosene. At Integrity Institute, we are firefighters advocating for setting standards and regular inspections for public safety. I don't think firefighters expect there to be no fire ever. They just kind of try to have things be as safe as possible, and then they're there in an emergency or if something weird happens and they're needed. And I think most trust and safety people feel the same way. A lot of us are very cynical and see how things can be abused everywhere. My cynical motto is trust no one, like from the X-Files, even though my whole job is building trust. So I don't know, hopefully trust me, but maybe don't trust anyone else. So I don't think any of us really believe that everything will be fixed one day. There's always going to be people who are trying to exploit other people. But we can do the best we can, and we can build systems that are sane and helpful, and we can educate people and put in guardrails and work collectively. I think a lot of these things are issues that are societal issues that we're all working out as a society, as a world globally, not just in tech, but everywhere. So big ask. I think my answer is yeah, no. But I don't think we will have an internet free of harm. So our jobs are fairly needed. They'll evolve over time, but they'll still be here. Well, hopefully all of this brain dump was interesting or helpful for you if you're thinking through the same things. I'll leave you with a couple resources. Number one is I have a new website that I launched in the little period of time between my two jobs. It's alicelinks.com. And I have a resources section there, so you can look through and search and sort the resources. And there's a whole bunch of job boards listed on there. So if you're looking for job and trust and safety and you want to make sure you haven't missed one, take a look. There's some that are human curated as well as, well, they're all human curated, but some are a little bit more specific than others. So you can check that out. I also will be continuing to post tips and things on LinkedIn. So follow me there if you haven't already, if you want or not. Email me if you have questions for the podcast. You can email me at podcast@integrityinstitute.org. And yeah, let me know what you think of this weird Alice talks to herself format. I don't know. I kind of had fun. I hope you had fun listening. Maybe we'll try it again sometime. Hopefully I can get it together enough to have guests again. And yeah, if you're job searching, take care of yourself. I hope you're doing okay. And I wish you all the best luck. This episode is edited, produced, recorded, hosted, and put together by me, Alice Hunsberger. Music by Zhao Shen. Big thanks to Tal Habeg for being my co-founder of the Trust in Tech podcast. If you're not a member already, consider joining the Integrity Institute, who hosts this podcast. It's a think tank of people working in integrity and trust and safety, and it's been a really great community for me and would be a great resource for you if you're job hunting or just thinking about career next steps. Oh, and like and subscribe to our podcast if you haven't already.